Welcome to episode 64 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. Since 2010, the Introvert Entrepreneur has been providing information and inspiration for introverts who want to amplify their strengths, as well as for extroverts who want to understand why introverts are so doggone quiet. I'm a professional coach, author, and speaker based in the Pacific Northwest and serving introverts worldwide. Every once in a while, I come across a self-proclaimed introvert that completely blows my preconceived notions out of the water. I work hard not to assume that all introverts are alike, but there's still a tendency to call out certain traits and think that they apply to all of us. Being good at or enjoying the sales process is one of those traits. I mean, introverts generally despise doing sales, don't we? Or do we? My guest today first entered my radar when he wrote a post on entrepreneur.com titled, 9 Proven Sales Tips for Introverts. He offered great advice, but I was still left with questions, as you'll hear in this podcast interview. That article was by Grant Cardone, and Grant is an international business and sales expert. He has authored 4 business books and customized sales training programs for Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, success-minded individuals, and entrepreneurs. He is a New York Times bestselling author regularly appearing on Fox News, Fox Business, NBC, and MSNBC, offering commentary and insights on a slew of topics affecting the economy, business, leadership, and matters affecting the middle class. I can pretty much safely say that this interview is different from any that you've heard on the Introvert Entrepreneur podcast before. Fasten your seatbelts. Grant, thank you so much for being part of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm glad to be talking with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Well, what's making you smile today?
Oh, well, you know, I'm getting to talk to you. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
You have a soothing voice that would comfort any introvert. You're actually warming me up to the point where I'm actually starting to extrovert a little bit, like a flower blossoming.
Awesome. That's my job as a coach, you know, to bring it out.
Bring it out of me, girl. Bring it out of me.
There you go. Well, I want to talk about you as an introvert and how that is connected to your career, particularly in sales. And the first thing that I want to know that I'm sure my listeners want to know is at what age and how did you discover that you were an introvert?
You know, that's interesting because when I saw your list of questions here today, I was like, wow, when did that happen? You know, I think I was like 7 or 8 years old. I remember I was a small boy. I was always pretty small as a, I'm still kind of small, but money makes you feel bigger, you know,
yes.
Success makes you feel bigger. Big audiences make you feel bigger. But I think I was like 6 or 7 years old. I remember where I lived. I lived on a little street in Lake Charles, Louisiana, 10th Street. I have an identical twin brother. And I remember my legs being bruised. And my little white legs, you know, they were little tiny, small legs and they were bruised. And I remember being, I think somebody made a comment about me being bruised or like, I got bruised easily. There was some comment made about that. And I remember starting to feel a little insecure. And this is probably after being told I was shy like 500 mm-hmm. times, you know,
right.
Even kids that are very outgoing, when they meet a stranger and they make a face and the first response from an adult is, oh, he's shy or she's shy.
Right.
And so after you hear that a number of times and I started putting so much attention on my size and my smallness and my legs being bruised, I started finding myself go in a bit and feel less and less secure about maybe my surroundings.
Interesting. Well, you bring up a great point because I think, you know, any child that seems to hang out on the edges or isn't like jumping right in there is labeled shy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of my quandary or disagreement with this whole thing, this labeling is, I don't know that anybody is just introvert or extrovert. I think we share in all those qualities from both sides of the spectrum. I can be very, very introverted. In this interview, you may see me become very extroverted if necessary.
Absolutely. That's why I like to talk about it in terms of, particularly for introverts, thinking of extroverting as a verb. As an entrepreneur, I have to extrovert. I don't become an extrovert, but it's something that I take on as something as a behavior. And that keeps the label from becoming something that you hide behind, because you have to realize you can muster up that energy. You can find that energy from somewhere.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that.
Well, you first caught my attention last year when I read an article on entrepreneur.com, and it was called 9 Proven Sales Tips for Introverts. And I'll include a link to that article within the description of this podcast in case people missed it. But I loved your ideas. I was reading them and I was like, yes, yes, yes. Uh-oh, no. on one of them.
Which one did you agree?
I got a little piqued by be so persistent you get criticized for it. And I noticed in the comments that if anybody had any sort of pushback, that was the one that they were responding to. Can you say more about that particular point, especially in the context of being an introvert entrepreneur who gets it, who gets about persistence, but also is very sensitive to that, you know, kind of crossing the line? Can you say more about what you meant by that?
Yeah, what I mean by it is, look, everything that I have in my life today, 95% of everything that I've been able to attain, because I wasn't born into the blue blood sperm club. I didn't have any lift up. Nobody gave me any connections. My dad had died when I was 10 years old, so I wasn't connected to the community. I think had my dad lived, I would have actually, because he was doing fairly well toward the end of his life, I would have been more connected. I would have had his name. I would have had his coattails, which I wouldn't mind having, actually, having a bit of a boost up, a pull up. But what I'm saying right there is, you know, in this word persistence, to persist beyond what people are comfortable with, or even the receiver of your persistence, is so misunderstood in our society and so somehow made wrong. I mean, this whole article was about sales. So this article is about how the introvert can sell in today's marketplace. And even the word sales has a lot of disdain with it. Okay. So does pressure. Pressure is supposedly a bad thing, to persist for long periods of time, even though if you talk to highly successful people for any given period of time, if you ask them, hey, what's the top three things that made you successful? I promise you, whether it's Warren Buffett, Steve Jobs, or you go back to King Solomon, they're going to all come back and say, you have to persist, persistence over talent. Yet in America today, it is somehow taboo, not okay to persist. We even have negative, degrading words for the persisting person, which is stalking. You know, it's like the woman that I'm married to today, I called her twice a month for 13 months. That's 26 times without a return phone call. Her friends were even saying I was stalking. I would then start, when the phone calls didn't work, I would show up in restaurants. I'd show up in clubs. I started dating her friends, whatever it took to make her comfortable. Because you see, if I was having a relationship with one of her friends, then all of a sudden I was safe. And her friends were even saying, like, man, you're stalking. You got to leave her alone. Da, da, da. I said, look, it's not stalking if it works. And this woman does not want to go out with me. She's not paying attention to me. She's not responding to my phone calls. If I give up now, that's just quitting. So for those of you out there, you're like, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. If you want to get the things you want in your life, you have to be willing to get uncomfortable. This is the message I have for all introverts, including myself. It is uncomfortable for me to be in a social setting where I don't know people. I have to become uncomfortable in order to reach up and grab the things I want in life that are a bit out of my reach. And sometimes that means I reach and I try. Most times I won't be successful. That means I have to persist. And I might have to persist long after someone has told me, leave me alone. Don't call me again. It's not time. It's not our budget. We're not interested. I have clients that I followed up for 15 years that are finally paying attention to me because of the amount of persistence, uncomfortable amounts of persistence, first on my part and then second on their part, until finally they're like, man, you're just not going to go away, are you? That builds a tremendous amount of confidence in the receiver, whether it's a relationship or a business transaction. For the person that's out there says, I believe in myself so much, I'm willing to be uncomfortable, I'm willing to persist, and I'm willing to persist long after other people would. I don't know. Did I convince you? What do you think?
What I appreciate most about what you just said. Close. I'm still going to have to think about it a little bit.
See, that's why I have to persist, right?
I know. You're going to be relentless. I can tell. What you said that resonated was this person believes so strongly in themselves, or they have that much confidence, and that builds confidence in the person to whom you are courting or talking to or trying to sell something to. And sometimes I think even for introverts, that level of confidence in themselves can even be a little intimidating. And it's easier almost to say, I have confidence in my message, in my product, in my service, and to put that at the forefront and allow that to be the thing that is very persistent, because I feel like we have a responsibility if we have something awesome to offer.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. Okay. I mean, I think the products that I have around me, all these books and stuff that I have around me, these are products I completely believe in. I wouldn't have written them. If you're going to write a book or you're going to do a podcast or a radio show, then you have an obligation now, regardless of how uncomfortable it is for you, to push that message out into the marketplace. And really, our products are an extension of who we are, whether your message is spiritual, financial, or somewhere in between. To me, they're all the same. I mean, everything that I do has some message about for me first, hey, can you push and stretch yourself to become better? For me, if I really truly believe in my product or the service I'm offering or the idea that I might have, then it's my responsibility at that point then to push and press and persist beyond my introversion, beyond my comfort zones, beyond your comfort zones, in order to convince another person, one, that I'm certain, and two, that I'm confident. Because look, there's so much uncertainty in the world today. You know, the introversion that I experienced at 8 years old was really, if you want to change the word, a discomfort and insecurity with myself that was basically put on me by others. The bruises, you're little, you're shy, etc. So I just got to practice that certainty until the rest of the world becomes certain about me as well.
Sold.
Bam.
Yes, sold. And I'm reminded that there's a quote, and I don't remember who said it, but it's basically like, we usually give up one step before the victory. So you got my attention back in, you know, 2013 early. And one of the things I watched that you did recently in January of 2014 was about attention. And you hosted an episode of the Cardone Zone in January about how to get attention. And you say, attention is the holy grail. And I can attest to that in terms of writing a book proposal and how much emphasis is put on platform building and how much attention can you get. And you advocate spending a lot of time building a presence through blogging and social media and doing that over things that we often are talking a lot about getting attention through, which is speaking or writing a book or traditional media. And it seems like that blogging and social media approach is really the introvert ideal. Like, oh, good, I get to sit behind my computer and not have to get up in front of people. But yet, where I'm curious to hear more about is that we're told often over and over not to use social media to sell.
Well, I would use every platform to sell. I mean, there's no platform that I wouldn't use to convey a message to create an effect. I'm interested in only creating an effect. Every moment I get for a phone, whether it's a phone call, an email, a regular mail, I'm going to write a postcard to somebody, I'm going to text somebody something, I'm going to post something on Facebook or hit a tweet, whether it's an Instagram or a Pinterest, or I'm going to fly a billboard across Miami. The only reason I would do that is to create an effect and cause someone to purchase some idea I have, okay, to get attention for myself. Look, there's more social media experts on this planet than there are people on this planet at this point, most of which have fewer followers than I have. No offense, not to get the whole social media community enraged and antagonistic toward me, but I see so many people talking about the rules of social media, and the reality is you don't have enough followers yet. You're not posting enough. You're not getting enough shares. You're basically, the space for the internet is so gigantic. You can pick any space you want. The solar system. Okay. That's how big we're talking about. It'd be like sending in a tweet out into space and thinking that one perfect quality tweet is going to somehow get somebody's attention. It will not. It's going to get lost in space, regardless of the quality, the number of characters or whatever. So social media is an unbelievable place for all of us, regardless of your budget. It's just about creativity. How much creativity can you push into the marketplace, and the quantity, the amount of push. First is to get attention. I have to get somebody's attention before I try to sell them anything. I can't sell anybody anything if they don't know who I am. So if you're an introvert and you're a wallflower and you don't want anybody to know about you, that's fine. But nobody's going to buy your product in your living room. Okay. It's just impossible. Dreams do not come true in kitchens or even garages. And I bring up the garage because, you know, you have stories like Microsoft and Steve Jobs and Apple Computer created in a garage. Well, let me tell you something. That product was created in a garage, but somebody had to leave the garage and tell the world. Steve Jobs was an unbelievable promoter of products. Warren Buffett, who is supposedly known as an introvert, he'll be on TV 3 times this week. Every time, I've seen Warren Buffett on TV. He's one of my heroes. And I've seen him 500 times, 1,000, I don't even know how many. He is never not in front of Coca-Cola, in front of GE. He owns stock in all these companies, in front of Burlington Northern Railroad when he owned that. He's always in front of his products, promoting, getting attention for, lightly pushing, reminding people, I'm Warren, I'm the old man, you can trust me. And by the way, I drink Coke. And I bank at Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Well, I love what you said about creating an effect. Like you said before, sales can become kind of a dirty word. Yeah. To me, creating an effect is a little bit of a more approachable way of thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you're a homeless person, like, there could be a time in your life where you're without work and maybe things go really bad. The first thing you have to do is get attention. If you're starting a business, you got to get attention for your product. If you need fundraisers, or maybe you have an idea for a movie or a script, you have to get attention for your movie, your script, your idea. You have to push yourself out to say, let me get attention. And the quantity, the amount of attention you get at first, it will determine how much interest you get about your product, your idea. And clearly, if the product and idea is good, then people are going to start funding that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And you're reminding us also that attention can be something that is positive as opposed to negative. Like, I think when we hear get attention for something, we think that it is the fake selling kind of persona. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it has to be.
Yeah. And if I could just add to that point, like the Miley Cyrus thing that came up when she did the thing with Robin Thicke. Okay.
Yes.
Well, when that came out and she was on stage with Robin Thicke and she was getting attention, I was telling my staff, I actually did a show about that. And I said, look, what Miley's doing today, because to me, that was just a predictable business move. This is not about what is happening right now. It's about the record she's going to drop in 2 weeks. 13 days later, after the Robin Thicke, and after she did her whole thing on TV, and she was trending on Twitter for the last 12 days, bam, she dropped a CD. That's when the sale happened. It happened 13 days later, once she got enough eyeballs on her product.
Yeah. Great point. Thank you. And that's an awesome example. We often think, you know, are they destroying their careers? But actually, they're probably doing the opposite.
Exactly. She wasn't destroyed. Look at the Kardashians. I mean, people hate the Kardashians, you know. I don't get it, because here we are in America where entrepreneurship is the thing, where people tell me the Kardashians have no products. And if they do have a product, it's a terrible product. I'm like, well, dude, they had an idea. And the idea wasn't a product. The idea is us. Which what better product is there than you? Like, the cost is low. Okay. It's duplicatable. All you have to do is show up. You don't have to sit on a shelf. Once they got enough attention, like them, hate them, criticize them, whatever you want to do. Look, they were willing. Those girls were willing to get out there over and over and over again. Get attention. I always tell people, get attention. You're going to get criticism when you get the right amount of attention. And if you keep doing whatever got the attention and the criticism, you're going to get haters. You need haters, man. Like, you're probably thinking your dog back there in the background, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up, son. But that's how your dog gets fed. He gets a little bit of attention. Then you're going to be putting a hammer on him. Then you're going to start hating him. And the next thing you're going to do is like, come over here. I love you so much. Let me feed you a little bit and give you a rub down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm calling her over right now.
And that's what kids do. Notice what kids do. Kids get attention. They know how to get attention. I just taught my four-year-old the other day, because they'll just pop up on you. Daddy, daddy, I need this, Papa. I need this. Right? And I'm like, okay, baby, here's the deal. First thing you do is you walk up and you say, Papa, you're the best. Can I have your full attention for 1 minute? Now, she's 4 years old. She does this perfectly now. Anytime she wants anything, I'm working on the computer, she walks up. Hey, Papa, you're the best. Can I get your full attention for 1 minute? And then I'm like, yeah, it's cool, baby. What you got? Sell me something. Let's roll. And you see your dog, all your dog does is bark, right?
Well, and look adorable. You are an introvert entrepreneur. And so that's what I classify anybody who says I'm an introvert and I'm an entrepreneur. So what choices have you made as an entrepreneur that have enabled you to grow your business but while not burning yourself out?
What do I do not to burn out? Well, first of all, I don't believe in burnout. Okay. I don't think it's possible. Somebody said, man, you burned a candle at both ends. I said, look, I'm not a candle. I don't have a bottom and a top. I mean, I'm not a candle. I don't know why you're comparing me to a piece of wax. I'm a spiritual being that can't burn from both ends. I mean, you can't exhaust me. It's impossible. This is made up. I mean, here today is Monday. You wake up and you see on a Twitter feed people complaining about Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the people that complain about Monday end up with no money. See, I mean, I'm like, look, here we are in the United States of America. You got people complaining about Monday. Oh, my God, it's Monday. Then by the time it gets to Wednesday, they're complaining about Wednesday. They're calling that hump day. OK, I'm halfway there.
Right.
And then Friday, thank God it's Friday.
Yep.
And then they take Saturday and Sundays off. They drag their little chaise lounges and their little refrigerators down to the beach, get 2 hours with the sand, and then go back and resent the fact that Sunday's here and we got Monday to deal with. So I'm suggesting to people, look, you cannot burn out. Okay, it is impossible. No one has ever burned out. It just doesn't happen. Nobody ever dies because of work. Nobody ever goes to the emergency room and says, oh my God, I've just over-success myself. And to the person that says, yeah, but you know, the guy's 90 years old and he's on his deathbed and he never looks back and says, man, you know what? I wish I would have worked a little more. Of course they don't say that, but I'll guarantee you there's 90-year-olds that are saying, man, you know what? I could have done more. I could have pushed a little harder. I could have made a bigger difference. And so for me, the more I do, I find out the more I can do. Mm-hmm. The more I extrovert and exert myself into the marketplace, the more comfortable I find myself becoming. I actually start saying, hey, you know, I got some swag. Mm-hmm. I can go on TV now and be confident about it and not sweat out the whole thing. I remember the first time I did a TV interview, I was like, first time I did a radio interview like this, I was freaking out of my mind. I'm like, oh my God, I thought I lost 2 years in a 2-minute interview. So what is it? What's the difference? I was wiped out from a 2-minute interview. Why is a guy not interested in a Monday? Because they're not succeeding. They're not winning. And so the way to win is to play the game more, because sooner or later, you're going to figure out how to win the game. This is the secret of the entrepreneur, introvert or extrovert. They win enough times to where they're like, man, you know what? I like this court. I like this game. I win when I'm here. It's not whether you have good hair or how tall you are, you know? Somebody told me the other day, said, man, if you were 6'2", you'd be a millionaire. I said, I'm glad I'm short then. So you got to get out and win, man. The more you win, the more you can win, and the more you're going to like life. And that's where the introvert who gets convinced to introvert to pull back, that's where that person gets defeated.
Okay. Well, and I would venture to counter a little bit and say, I think it's that sometimes it's that withdrawing and that introvert, as long as it's from a healthy place, that can help you store up the energy to do that extroverting. Okay, so maybe I'm in that camp of believing that there is such a thing as burnout. So maybe I'm coming from that place, but
I'm gonna try to sell you on
but
this.
But I totally hear you, because energy creates energy. So that's what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly. I mean, you know, energy creates energy. If you've ever been exhausted at the end of the day, I dare you to go work out. When you're exhausted, go work out 20 minutes and tell me you don't have more energy when you're done.
Yep. Sold.
You will. You will have more energy because you're creating energy. The being creates energy. The being, he's like, I got to unplug. I got to kick back. Why would you unplug? I unplug my computer, it dies. My computer is happier when it's plugged in all the time, jacking energy out of that wall. So what I want to do is I want to plug into people. I want to plug into opportunities. I want to plug into the marketplace. The more plugged in I am, the more excited and alive I feel. The less plugged in I am, the more introverted, the more I'm having to rest on my battery, and I don't have the engagement of other people, new, exciting uh-huh. people, et cetera.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I don't expect to sell you on everything.
No,
okay?
No. Am I ruining your 100% turnover rate or, you know, conversion?
Sorry.
Well, what I hear is...
I'm not done with you.
Okay, great. What I hear is that you've definitely cultivated a lot of extrovert energy and learned how to use it, even if there's some introvert at your core in terms of the social situations and things like that. But what I appreciate is that you're reminding us that we can really learn to project that extrovert energy towards something that we feel passionate about and we care about, and it makes the hard work easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's not comfortable for me to go talk to strangers, but I refuse to teach my daughters... Mm-hmm. not to talk to strangers, because I know it's a poor lesson. My parents taught me, my mom taught me, don't talk to strangers. Why? Because my mother was scared. My sister, who was put in charge of me, taught me, don't talk to strangers, because my sister was scared. These are ideas perpetuated into the marketplace. So here we live in a society that is, you know, if you turn on the TV today, it's scary, man. All you do is get reported on all the bad things that happen. They don't report on the good things that happen.
Right.
The planes that went down, the bombing that happened, the shooter, the slasher. I was on a plane, and I know I'm kind of interrupting your flow here, but I was on a plane coming from South America. I was doing a sales seminar down there. And my daughter said to me, she says, Papa, I want some cookies. I'm like, baby, there's 200 people on this plane. Go talk to them. They're called strangers, strange people, strangers. Strangers are people you don't know. Doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them dangerous. Mm-hmm. Those people have your cookies, because I don't have any. I'm not the cookie monster. I'm your papa. My job is to give you direction. So she went and asked the flight attendant, mister, you got some cookies? Now, she was 3 years old at the time and looked at her. He didn't even check for the cookies. He says, no, I don't have any cookies. My daughter said, why don't you go check, mister? We're at 30,000 feet, right? He can't go anywhere. So he comes back with cookies. She's excited. She comes to me. Papa, can I eat the cookies? Sure, you can. Give me half of them. It's a split deal.
It's your commission, your consulting fee.
Exactly.
Your daughters are going to be dangerous.
That's right.
They're going to be superstars.
Oh, she is. She is. And you know, dangerous is the perfect word. The more dangerous the individual is, the less they have to worry about danger. Because if you're the least dangerous particle in the environment, you're the one going to get attacked on, okay? If you're dangerous, people leave you alone. So I would suggest to every business person, become dangerous in the environment to where your clients, the marketplace, the economy. Nobody knows, hey, what's Grant going to do next?
All right. It's a good thing I still got a few hours left in the day. This is going to jazz me up to be dangerous. Well, I'm going to wrap up our conversation here, at least this formal part, by asking you something I ask all my guests.
Okay.
And this is about Introvert Island.
Who would go to this place?
I know. Well, so-called introverts.
Okay.
You can only take 3 regular, normal, old-fashioned paper books. What would you take with you and why?
Let's see. 3 books. I would probably take Nanotechnology. I think that was the name of the book. I read that book. Unbelievable book about the nanotechnology. Mm-hmm. I would probably bring one of the Flynn books on Black Ops. Unbelievable writer about Black Ops. There would be 2 other books. I would bring the old book I read when I was 15, 16 years old, Rich Man, Poor Man.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable book. They made a TV series about it. Don't confuse that with Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I would probably bring the book, best science fiction book that I've ever read that would definitely handle 4 or 5 days, Battlefield Earth. Unbelievable book about heroes.
Now, wasn't that the movie that was so bad that it...
It was terrible. The movie was awful, awful. The book
But the
was
book was good.
The... Literally a book I could not put down, and that book's over 700 pages.
Awesome. That'll keep you busy for a little while. So if people want to pay attention to you, find out more about you and your books, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, first of all, if you've never heard my name and you've never heard of me, my apologies to everyone listening, okay? Because that would be my fault, not yours. Number 2, you can find me on Twitter. I bang Twitter about 20 times a day, maybe 25 times a day. And a newsletter that we send out every week at CardoneSuccess.com, CardoneSuccess.com, and I'll send you a business strategy that is perfect for the introvert in you.
Awesome. And what's your Twitter handle? Is it Grant Cardone?
At Grant Cardone.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you and hearing more about your perspective and, you know, selling me on a couple of things. Like I said, I'm still going to be thinking about it, but I'm sure that you've persuaded a lot of people. So thank you.
Hey, Beth, be dangerous, all right?
So what do you think? Did Grant sell you on the idea that introverts can be great salespeople? I do know that I'm feeling a bit braver, more willing to be dangerous after our conversation. Grant has definitely cultivated his inner extrovert, and I can hear an invitation in there for us to do the same. If you look at it as energy, rather than as a personality or a facade that you have to turn on and off, there's a chance that you can project some of that extroverted energy while still honoring who you are at your core. I'm exploring that very topic in my next book, The Introvert Entrepreneur, so stay tuned for more on that in the coming months. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends, family, colleagues, and social media networks, and consider leaving a review on iTunes or on the podcast webpage. If you want to learn more about my coaching, speaking, and training services, you can find me online at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You'll also find information about my first book, Insight: Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert, which is available through Amazon.com. This is Beth Bielo with The Introvert Entrepreneur, and until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.